Hello and welcome to another Naxos podcast, this time with music by the Russian composer Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov and two of his symphonies, number 1 and number 3, with the Berlin Radio Symphony conducted by Gerard Schwartz. You just heard the very beginning of the symphony number 1, and here's a bit more. Music Rimsky-Korsakov began writing when he was a 17-year-old naval cadet. Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov was born in 1844 in a Russian town a couple hundred kilometers, or about 120 miles, for those of you measuring distance that way, east of St. Petersburg. His father was a government official, and the family had a long history of military and naval service. At the age of 14, young Nikolai joined the Imperial Russian Navy Cadet College, which meant he was sent to the School for Mathematical and Navigational Sciences in St. Petersburg. So where did music fit in all of this? In many ways, it didn't. Rimsky-Korsakov had piano lessons as a child and showed both talent and a distinct lack of discipline, and a more obvious interest in literature and ships. It wasn't until he went to the navigational school that he had some more serious piano lessons and developed a real love of music. He was more serious about his love of music than the actual piano lessons, but some kind of talent must have been evident, because he ended up studying with Mily Balakirev, one of Russia's foremost composers at the time. That is to say, he studied music when he wasn't at sea. However, it was discovered we were all beneficiaries of that training. Rimsky-Korsakov did have real musical talent, including a wonderful sense of melody, like in this movement, the slow movement from his first symphony. The society into which Rimsky-Korsakov was born was a strict hierarchy in a way that few of us today can imagine. We certainly have an uneven distribution of wealth, but movement within most societies these days is at least theoretically possible. In 19th century Russia, such movement was difficult, if not impossible. At the top, you had the Russian Tsar, along with the nobility and clergy. Until 1881, the nobility could own estates and the serfs who worked on them, and the nobility could attend special universities, were exempt from military service, and all that kind of thing. Below the nobility was the middle class, which included doctors and lawyers and civil servants. Below them was the working class, which included soldiers and sailors, factory workers, and artisans. So as a sailor and an artist, Rimsky-Korsakov was part of this class. And at the bottom of the heap were the peasants. These were mostly farm workers who, until 1861, had no spelled-out legal rights at all except whatever the estate owners decided they could have. At least legally, it was a very different world from the one most of us inhabit today. Music from Rimsky-Korsakov's Symphony No. 1, a piece he began as a teenager and completed in fits and starts while being a sailor in the Russian Navy. He began working on the symphony sometime around 1861. In 1862, the Navy sent him on a 3-year world tour, but by that time he'd finished at least a draft of the first movement, the last movement, and the scherzo. He then wrote the slow movement while his ship was making a stop in England and mailed it back to his composition teacher in St. Petersburg. In 1865, he finished his naval tour and returned to St. Petersburg, where he added a trio to the scherzo movement and decided to reorchestrate the entire symphony. In 1865, the symphony was given its premier performance with his composition teacher Mily Balakirev conducting. It was a huge success. And Rimsky-Korsakov appeared on stage in full naval uniform to accept the applause because naval regulations at that time required officers to remain in uniform even when off duty. Thank you. It's hard. No, it's impossible to condense conductor Gerard Schwartz's career into a podcast page or even an entire podcast. He was music director of the Seattle Symphony for 26 years, has made more than 350 recordings, conducts all over the world, and is now the music director of both the Eastern Music Festival in Greensboro, North Carolina, and of the All-Star Orchestra, his own hand-picked ensemble of players from all over the United States, who make these wonderful Maxos DVD productions of orchestral music. And he has an ongoing relationship with the music of Rimsky-Korsakov, having made three other recordings of his music for Naxos, including both Scheherazade and Capriccio Espagnol. Here he is conducting the very beginning of the Symphony No. 3. Any composer who writes for orchestra thinks about orchestration at some point. They have to. At its simplest, it just means which instruments play what parts. Many composers think about it. Only a few are really good at it, and very few are better than Rimsky-Korsakov. Whether you're listening to his symphonies, like the ones on this recording, or to Capriccio Espagnol or Scheherazade, the way he uses the sound colors and the capabilities of each instrument are striking, and it's no accident. Rimsky-Korsakov himself wrote about orchestration, that orchestration is part of the very soul of the work. A work is thought out in terms of the orchestra, certain tone colors being inseparable from it in the mind of its creator and native to it from the hour of its birth. And people tend to take very special care with things they think are important. Here's a bit of the slow movement, beautiful slow movement from his third symphony. Thank you. You have been listening to music by Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov and performances by the Berlin Radio Symphony Orchestra conducted by Gerard Schwartz. A recording made about 6 months ago in the Haus des Rundfunks, or Radio Hall, in Berlin. It's available at all fine music retailers and access catalog number 8.573581. That's all for this podcast. I hope you can join me again next time. Until then, I'm Raymond Bechet. So long for now.